Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. D.C. Reeves is the mayor of Pensacola. He joins us right now. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Andrew, thanks for having me.
Hey, good to have you. By the way, I should tell you, Rick Scott's folks got a hold of me and said, hey, can you make time for the senator at 7:45 to, you know, tomorrow? And I'm like, nope, got the mayor on.
So, well, thank you.
Absolutely.
That makes me feel extra special.
Well, you're my weekly interview. Just like, I mean, I would do the same for Chip or for Bob or for, you know, Mike. So, I will take the senator when we can work him in. Of course, we love having him on, but, you know, just didn't work out for today. God, there's so many things we can talk about with you. Let's start with this. Palafox reopened. It's going to open what? June 1st for traffic. How did it handle the first big rain?
Great. It's still there last time we checked, so it didn't float away. It was great. And again, 100,000 gallons more of storm water. That type of storm is a perfect example of that. Is that now you see no remnants, and the business owners down there could tell you better than I can tell you that even a storm like that previously, people would have put sandbags out. I don't mean it would have flooded. I just mean, but there would have been enough concern over the years of time. So that's a living example this quickly of the infrastructure value, not just the aesthetic value.
We finally have a historic street with a modern underbelly, which we'll take that.
That's right.
Parking spaces, are there fewer? Are there more? What was the net change in parking spaces also for handicap spaces? That's something I hear a lot of. I know we put an ADA of the ramps are in and all that stuff. And by the way, it looks beautiful. No doubt about that. But what about parking spaces?
Yeah, so the total, again, a big misperception because someone will see the photo of the first block where we took out four bays, mm-hmm. four of the six, and say, oh, there's no parking anywhere. I believe the total is somewhere in the range of 18 total spaces out of the 100-plus that are on Palafox. So that's the first misperception on that. The second one is, why would we get rid of handicap spaces when we actually made the entire thing ADA compliant? So yes, the handicap spaces still exist. There's one in front of the Sanger. There's one on every block.
Right.
And another thing to point out that I always take this opportunity to do is if you have a valid handicap placard, you can park in any city parking space, anyone. Doesn't have to be handicapped. Any city parking space for free 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
So not just like how citizens can park anywhere, but specifically no cost.
That's correct. So I guess when someone says where are the handicap spaces, technically speaking, the handicap spaces are every single city-owned parking space, including the handicap spaces as well. So I just always like to point that out because that's kind of a lesser-known fact that's out there. Is people think that they're saying, well, or there's only one handicap space and it's taken. Well, if there is one next to it, that those can be used completely free of charge, so long as you have a displayed valid placard. But no, we did not lose any handicapped spaces. And again, we're talking about a minimal amount. And as the other parts of the project get done, the cross streets and all that, there'll be a few coming back to change the net total. But nonetheless, yes, it's a fraction of the parking that was remained on Palafox.
And I know because the side streets are going to get closed, the east side, then the west side, and then government, I get all that. Is all of the current free parking going to remain until the entire project is done? Is that the plan?
Yeah, as of now, I think because of the timing, we're looking at implementing some of our modifications to the parking program within the budget process, just because of how it times out, right? Because you got to get that approved during budget process,
okay.
Which of course means we'd probably look at like an October start for two reasons. One is there's still inconvenience, even though it's not on Palafox, there's still inconvenience, and so we still want to make that easy. And two, you don't want to get in the, whether you like the parking rules or you don't want to get in the habit of changing them every 3 months. Even if you change them for the better and everybody agreed, they become confusing. So we want to make sure we get this right and everything that we change, that we do as good a job as we can to roll it out correctly. But what I can tell you is we are considering potentially an additional free day. Outside of Sunday, we're considering some more, perhaps a different rate at peak time versus non-peak time. We're considering one that I think will be very popular is actually expanding the senior permit that would be $10 a month to any senior, not just city seniors, but any senior over 65 where you can pay $10 a month. You don't even have to get your phone out. It would be on your license plate. You pull into a city-owned space and you're done. And so we're actually talking about expanding that to where people in Pace and Milton, Gulf Breeze, Cantonment, not just city residents, would have that available to them as well. So, but to get people signed up for permits, Andrew, you've got to give them some time to narrate that, right? Sure. And say it's available and get them in. So that's why we're kind of looking at maybe more of an October start to what these changes are.
Education
so,
before action.
More to come
that
on
sense,
that,
yeah.
but we're going to give people plenty of runway in terms of making sure that they know what's coming.
And last thing on Palifax, just because, I mean, this was a huge project for the city. It was very expensive, but it came in on time. They got their 10%, bonus and that was going to otherwise go to businesses. And it came in either at or under budget, promise made, promise kept, right? I mean,
yeah,
we're done.
Yeah, what I said, in 139 days, we got an $11 million road project done. I don't need to find the record books to find that that's the fastest we've ever gotten a project of this scale done ever in the history of the city. And what I think is most important is not only to do 300,000 pavers in 139 days plus stormwater, plus ECUA came and put new lines in.
Right.
All these different converging factors, and the fact of the matter is we lost zero small businesses, zero during that process. And that's a testament to our team and staff. It's a testament to our community of going out and being proactive about supporting these businesses during a time of inconvenience. So that isn't something I did. That's something we did together. And that's probably the data point, Andrew, I'm most proud of, is to say that who would have bet that we would have not lost one single business. Actually, we had a couple of businesses open, ahead of this during that time.
Yeah, no, definitely not. And I know we're sometimes fearful of change, fearful of trying something that's the apocalypse that we're afraid of, and then it turns out, oh, yeah, that's all right. There was an article in the PNJ, the Veterans Memorial Park, no bathrooms. This has been a saga for as long as I have lived here. You're supposed to have a meeting with them maybe, this week or something? Where are we at?
That's right. Yeah, good question. And first of all, I like to zoom out and say, this has been a conversation for about 12 years. And what we've done in these 3 years is get the only funding that's ever existed for a permanent restroom. And we have proposed about three different solutions so far to the board. One thing that the administration absolutely has to own is that in a conventional setting where we would get a grant from the state and then we would go finish and execute a project, what we would typically do is we would get feedback from the community stakeholders, the residents, whatever the case may be, whatever's applicable. We'd go get feedback from them. We would take that feedback and then we'd go execute the project. If anything, what it certainly is our fault is that we have involved the board in terms of every detail.
The Veterans Memorial Park board.
That's correct. And we want to try to land at the best place possible for their use. And we appreciate them being down there. But sometimes that level of feedback paralyzes the project. And so again, what the net result has been, we've had three different proposals at two different locations. And as recently as this past month, had another idea that was actually, interestingly enough, it was mentioned in the article about Bruce Beach and, Portland Lou.
Yeah.
We actually offered a Portland Lou within the last 90 days, and that was rejected by the board. So the point
Wait,
is,
I thought
is,
they said it, that's what they wanted.
Well, and that's what I'd say, honestly, it's not to be, listen, we all want the same thing. We all agree. There is no doubt that there should be a restroom down there. It's why we advocated with our state legislators to get the money to begin with, to actually have it during this administration is the first dollars out of 12 years. So we're going to get this done. But I would say the net positive, I certainly would have loved to have just had the meeting on Thursday before we started having a conversation in the media. That being said, the net positive is that's great. That's the clearest direction we've gotten so far as what I read in the paper about, hey, let's just go ahead with anything. And we agree. I mean, we've got a viable solution right now. We've had a viable solution. So we're going to move forward with that. And I think that's the best harmonious landing spot to certainly continue to support the board's efforts and honoring our veterans there and having that facility and also not continuing to paralyze ourselves with seeking perfection.
Okay.
On exactly what the facility looks like.
So it's going to be 1-2 Portland Lou's? Is that what I hear you saying? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No, it may not necessarily be Portland Lou. It's going to probably be prefab in some way, is what I'd say, whether it be Portland Lou or kind of more of a structure like is going in at Roger Scott Pool, like a kind of a prefabbed building. That makes it easier. Remember, there's flood complexities down there in the floodplain, you know, and that's what makes these things difficult. But anyway, bottom line is, we message delivered, certainly from the VMP board. Hey, let's get anything, something in there. We agree, but and, you know, that it's just time to go. So let's do it. And that's what we're going to hyper focus on. So we do appreciate that feedback.
Big fire at the scrapyard yesterday. Pensacola Fire was big on the scene. You know, they got it contained pretty quickly, but still the smoke was a concern for a lot of folks. You know, it's good to see PFD being exceptional in their response.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe they had 32 firefighters out there for 12 hours.
Wow.
County
too, right? Escambia County was out there too.
Yeah. Escambia County. I mean, there was other resources that were had to be called in for this. This is we're going to confirm this. I believe it's the fourth incident we've had there in the last 2 years.
Yikes.
And that's just not tolerable.
Yeah.
The step we're taking is certainly, you know, we are drafting a letter to the ownership of this facility, and saying, frankly, we've had enough. I mean, this is too much of a burden on our taxpayers. And it's time to do the right thing. And we're not going to continue to go out there and have our taxpayers pay for, this type of protection, not to mention the environmental impacts of Bayou Chico being right there.
Right.
We're fed up, and we're going to figure out how we can make some progress here. We're going to notify them that, and I've already had conversations with our city attorney's office, with our fire department about, you know, trying to understand what our legal protections are, what our code protections are, what our policy protections are. So we're looking into that, but we've had enough of this.
Yeah. How do you see that ending?
We'll see what happens.
I mean, you know, they lose their business license, they get taken over by somebody else, they get forced to leave. I mean, it's a scrapyard; it's hard to move, but like, what do you see as the outcome here?
Frankly, if you were in my office, that's what we're analyzing, right?
Okay.
What can we do?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't want to speculate as to what we can or can't do, because yes, of course, absolutely, it's a private business on private property, right? On one hand, on the other hand, on the fairness index of saying, well, do you have the infrastructure to help us fight fires in place? We had to refuel twice on site. We have notified them that they needed some other infrastructure to be put in. There's lots of little parts to this that are adding up to a lot of frustration, as you can hear and as you can imagine, with our firefighters.
Yeah.
Forget the taxpayer dollars. That's secondary. You're putting lives in danger of Pensacolians that are going out there and fighting a fire for 12 hours. I mean, you know, so again, we've had enough of this. We're at this trajectory four times in 2 years is ridiculous. So we are going to look into every avenue that we have to figure out. Listen, I mean, we've had some success. Actually, we just got some yesterday with Lumos, the T-Mobile the fiber company that had been tearing up yards kind of unapologetically. We made some real progress. I'll share that some as well. We made progress when we notified TSA at the airport. We made progress. There is some power in saying, hey, guys, you know, we're sending letters to England, where the parent company is, for this, saying, hey, we've got a problem here. So certainly I'm open to that as well. Hopefully that's something that they listen to and respond to.
We always run out of time too quickly. I wanted to talk with you about the lien relief proposed ordinance by Allison Patton, which, as I read it, does create a structure. It's fairly rigorous, but it also gives your office and your subordinates the ability to waive up to $50,000 worth of, unnecessary fines, not cost and abatement, but, you know, unnecessary fines have accrued. You guys are going to talk about that tomorrow night at the meeting. People seem to be very worked up about the data centers, you know, that aren't coming. Because as far as I know from Chris Plate, there's like one company in the bare preliminary stages of talking, and they're small, and like some Amazon-style warehouse in the middle of the road in Cantonment, right?
Right, yeah. And I can tell you, data centers aren't in the top 1,000 of our priority list of economic development within the city limits. I can't speak to – I don't even know which company it is that's called us here in the county, but – we've got plenty of irons in the fire in economic development, and you know, I can certainly speak for the city administration and say that data centers is nowhere in our equation of something that we're looking for or that I expect in any way to be within inside the city limits.
Well, that will absolutely mean that people on social media will calm down and won't show up to protest at a meeting. That's how humans work.
Nice.
We always like to just real quick. I talked with Bruce Woody last hour from ECUA. They said you guys were had kind of talked about either them supplying you with trucks to clean up the yard debris and or the ability to maybe for some kind of a fee use the recycling side for their yard debris. Has that manifested yet? Where are we at?
I know it's at the staff level now, okay. But as always, you know, ECUA has been great about whether it be helping us get Portland Lou's hooked up, yep. You know, and helping us save costs there. You know, Bruce and his team always do a good job of being good community partners. So no surprise there. And certainly if that's something that Daryl and our team at Sanitation sees as the best way to go forward, we'll absolutely do that.
And by the way, somebody sent me a picture of a giant tree that got cut down and put in somebody's yard yesterday. And I'm like, and he's like, this is what the mayor's talking about. I'm like, yep. Bruce did confirm that seasonally there's always more and there has been more this year. In the county, they haven't seen it as a giant spike because typically people burn their stuff. But, you know, in the city, it's obviously a little bit different. We always like to end with a bit of a lightning round. Old olive drab green army men. Did you have a favorite and a least favorite?
You mean just like the classic one?
Yeah. The machine gunner, prone guy, the guy wading through the water, rifleman, radio, bazooka.
Well, you know, again, Andrew, this is another chapter of me being slightly younger than you. So, you know, the technology of the WWF fighters, you know, being able to move their arms with the Ninja Turtles, you know, having different accessories, you know, was a couple of years.
You never played with Army Men. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yeah, the lack of technology that you are describing right now. But I would say they were usually target practice, mm-hmm. I would say, for whatever, you know, bowling we were doing with with our other boys.
Sunscreen, sun shirt, nothing, or oil and bake?
I'm over 40. I'm sunscreen. I grew up in Perdido Key, so I was probably on the nothing for a little while.
Yeah.
So now I'm trying to be a responsible adult.
Oh, look at you being the mayor. And then last one, what poster was on your wall as a kid growing up? The more embarrassing, the better.
Oh, God. Well, it would always be basketball. Michael Jordan, the USA Dream Team 1992.
Oh, okay. All right.
That was on my, for a long, long time.
Sports guy. I got
still
you.
Still up there right now, actually, my bedroom right now. I'm just kidding. but if I still had it, I probably would
have it
somewhere in my house until someone took it down.
D.C. Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola, as always, a pleasure. Sure, we'll look forward to the city council meeting tomorrow night and talking to you next week. Thanks for the time.
All right. Absolutely. Thanks, Andrew.